Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text today for this Transfiguration Sunday from Mark chapter 9, where Jesus took Peter, James, and John, his inner circle, with him and led them up to a high mountain where they were all alone, and he was transfigured before them. His clothes became dazzling white, whiter than anyone could bleach them. Dear friends of Christ, today I want to focus on two words, transfiguration and transformation. Transfiguration and transformation. And of course, what's the difference of the word? Transfiguration is to change physically. To have what you have before you and have it be something completely different. A caterpillar into a butterfly. That's a transfiguration. Right? And from a worm. Now, another word we might use is metamorphosis. Transfiguration takes place when something becomes normal and then it changes into something majestic and beautiful. Transformation is different. Just a bit different, just a little nuance of a change of difference in meaning. Transformation is a changing process. So there's that process of changing. There's that process where the worm, which is a caterpillar, goes into a cocoon, liquefies, and then solidifies, and then comes out a butterfly. That's a transformation process. And explain it to me if you can. Right? That transformation process is a little more difficult. And yet we have the two words, similarly related, transfiguration and transformation. Well, Jesus was transfigured before us. He was changed, his body changed, and he revealed that he wasn't just human, but that he was divine, divinely God. And yet he didn't change. His body changed, but Jesus didn't change. He revealed himself as God. Now, that was an aha moment for the disciples because they knew that Jesus was claiming to be God, but Peter, James, and John didn't understand how that could possibly be in a human body. He looked like us. And yet, on top of that mountain, everything changed. It was an aha moment. Jesus changed. But Jesus didn't change. He didn't transform into something different. He just revealed who he was. It's Epiphany. God revealing himself to the world in the divine nature, in his divine nature. And they got a glimpse of his glory. And John writes about that glory of Christ. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we've seen his glory. We've seen the glory of God in the face of Christ. As one from the Son of the Father, full of grace and truth. So, in this transfiguration, Jesus reveals who he is. Yet he didn't change. He didn't transform. The Bible says a different thing about us. The Bible says that we are by nature sinful and that we have separated ourselves from God and that we're under the curse of God and that we're under his wrath. And that we're under the divine anger of the Almighty. That's a different picture. Separated, children of wrath, condemned, damned for all eternity, walking in the sin of our darkness. And then you've got Jesus separated, God who is light, mankind who is separated from that light. So we're broken and unclean and unacceptable to God. And then the Bible says that the blood of Jesus changes us. The blood of Jesus transforms us. And can you explain to me how that transformation process takes place in Christ? Again, our theme, transfigured in Christ, transformed to serve. Transfigured, changed in Christ, transformed to serve. It's difficult to understand the sense of amazement the disciples must have had up on the mountain. Jesus took his three best friends, those who would in the future be the three guys that are running the church, and he takes them up on top of that mountain and gives them a trip. We call it the Mount of Transfiguration. The disciples saw something they couldn't explain. It would be something you couldn't explain either. Not only could you not explain it, it would scare the living daylights out of you. Just like it scared Peter, James, and John. Because there Jesus was, the model of heaven, the picture of purity. And any time sinful man sees the glory of God, we fall as though we're dead, terrified. The dazzling white, the God of the universe, and the Father spoke from the heavens and he spoke his approval. This is my beloved Son. Just like he had at his baptism. This is my beloved Son, in whom I love. Listen to him. So the transfiguration of Jesus is very important. It gives us a glimpse into his glory. Who is he? And in the same way, one day we're going to stand in the awe of his divine presence. However, I contend that Jesus' transfiguration is more important than just the fact that he gives us a glimpse of his glory. Paul explains this important transformation. Our citizenship is in heaven. And from it, we await a Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly bodies to be like his glorious body by the power that enables him to subdue everything to himself. A resurrection. A transformation, a transfiguration, a body that was placed in the earth and turned back to dust is called from the grave, and it's a glorious body. Your body, but a different body, a glorious body standing before God. And the good news, one day we will be transfigured too. And it's going to be an incredible event. In our Old Testament lesson, we saw the chariot come down and heard about how it took Elijah to heaven. He didn't die. His body never went to the grave. So when he's standing on the Mount of Transfiguration, we're saying, well, of course he can be there because he never died. But what's Moses doing there? Moses died. His body's supposed to be in the dirt somewhere. Christ hasn't come back, the resurrection of flesh hasn't happened, and yet there's Moses on top of the mountain with Elijah, standing in the glory of Christ, transformed, transfigured by our God. And it was a glorious and a fearsome sight. Again, the purpose of transfiguration is giving us a glimpse of the glory that one day awaits us, where we'll stand in his presence forever. James, Peter, and John had just a few moments to bask in his glory, just a few minutes, and then it was over. And we'll have an eternity. The disciples witnessed something spectacular up on that mountain, and what they witnessed spectacularly transformed their lives, changed their lives forever. It changed them in a dramatic way. And the same thing could be said of us. We're transfigured in Christ, and then we're transformed to serve Christ. But how does that transfiguration, that transformation change happen? What happens when Christ comes into your life? For you, it happened when you were probably baptized and the Word of God settled into your heart and you said, I believe in Jesus. And what happens, what changes happens in your life? What changes then happens in your heart? And I can tell you this, the changes that happen have nothing to do with what you think or what you say or what you do. But it has everything to do with Jesus. It's all God's work in us and his work alone. However, before God can transform us and change us and transfigure us, we must first realize that we've got a problem. We need to be changed. Right? We need to be changed. We are children of darkness. We're unclean. We're separated from God. We're under His wrath. There's the anger, the just righteousness of God. Why did you break away from me? Why do you worship other gods? Why are you unholy and unclean? And then God comes with His solution, the changing man, the man who changes and transfigures before us, the one who brings transfiguration, the one who brings transformation, stands on top of the mountain. And He says, he who believes in me will be transfigured. He who believes in me will be transformed. He who believes in me will be saved. And so how does that transfiguration, that transformation process happen in Christ? It's all in Christ because we're sinful and unclean in every way. And we don't like to hear that. We like to think as human beings we hold some kind of value. There's got to be some kind of value, right? Something good in us. Well, consider this analogy. You go to paint your house, and you go to the store, and you say, I want white. And so you get white from the paint store, and you paint your house white, and you think, wow, look how white and beautiful it is until it snows. And then that stark, pure, snow white contrasts against the dingy white of your house, and you realize your house isn't all that white after all. And so it is with Christ. In the presence of Jesus, we see the purity. We see our uncleanness, the dark nature of our sin. And that's why Jesus came to turn the darkness to light, to change us, so that there were different people, transfigured, transformed to serve. Isaiah writes, come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. And though they are red as crimson, they shall be white like wool. Now that's an incredible promise of God, of what takes place in Christ Jesus. The scarlet blood of Jesus. The scarlet blood shed for us. His blood poured over us to wash us, to cleanse us, to purify us, to transform us, to change us. And you're changed. Now, you may not feel changed, but it's not what you do that matters. You may not seem like you're changed, but it's not what you think or say or do that matters. What matters is, has Christ done the efficient work to save your soul? Has He done what is necessary? The one who is transfigured and transformed and showed us His purity and His glory, is He the one who has the power to cleanse, to purify, to transform you? And the answer is yes, and it's been done. And so that's who you are. Changed, purified, cleansed, transformed in Christ. We see ourselves rebellious. We put ourselves under the law of God. In the Old Testament, epistle lesson, we talked about when Moses is read, there's a veil over our face because that's a law of God. Listen, Christians, the law of God is holy and it's good. But if we live according to the law and the rules of Moses, we're damned. Those laws offer no salvation. All those rules of God tell us who we are: broken, darkened sinners, condemned under God's wrath. And those who live with the veil of the law of Moses cannot see Christ, but Christ lifts up that veil. And then all of a sudden I realize, in Christ I'm transformed, in Christ I'm transfigured, in Christ I am changed, in Christ I'm different. And we are. Why? Because He did what was necessary. And the veil of the law is removed. The law is still important. The law is still holy. But the anger of God through the law has been cast from us and put on the cross of Jesus. So we stand transformed in the glory of our Savior. You know, in ancient Greek legend, Helen of Troy, and maybe you know the story, Helen was kidnapped by her enemies and taken away to a foreign land where she had an unfortunate event of getting amnesia. She forgot who she was. And she didn't remember her name. She didn't remember that she was a queen. She didn't remember that she was royalty. And she became a prostitute just to make ends meet in the streets of the city. And however, her home of Troy never forgot her, and they sent people out to search for her and look for her. And then on a waterfront in a strange city, a man saw a wretched woman with deep lines sketched across her face and wearing tattered clothes, but he recognized her and said, "Could it be? What's your name?" he asked. She gave a name that he wasn't familiar with, a name that was meaningless, and he said, "Can I see your hands?" Because he had been her hand servant and knew her hands well. And she held out her hands and he gasped, "You're Helen. You're Helen of Troy." And immediately a veil lifted from her. A moment of recognition came upon her. "I'm the queen. I'm the queen of Troy. I'm royalty." And she became the queen she was born to be. That story, my friend, is yours and mine in Christ Jesus. We were created to be children of the King. And then kind of an amnesia came upon us called sin. And the world forgets who they are. They forget who they belong to. And Satan sends that veil, that darkness of unbelief that covers people so that they can't confess the name of Jesus or look upon Christ or believe in Him. We're people of royal blood, but our kingdom's been destroyed. Our lineage destroyed, separated, lost, wandering aimlessly, not knowing who we are and not knowing where we're going. But Christ never gave up on us. He came searching for us. And He finds us to save us. And the message of the gospel is all about that. In His loving arms of mercy, in His loving arms of forgiveness, Christ transforms us. He transfigures us by His blood. He calls us to the gospel. He enlightens us. He turns on the light bulb. He removes the veil so that we can say, "I'm changed and I stand in the glory of Christ. And Christ lives in me, transformed, transfigured." And what takes place is we admit our sin. We admit our brokenness and we receive the blood. And our world of darkness becomes a world of light. Not by anything you've done, but by everything Christ has done. And the world doesn't understand all that. The world doesn't understand Christ. They don't understand that He is God Himself. And their souls are not transformed. The world needs people like us. The world needs people like us so that they can see what it means to be transformed. So that they can see what it means to be transfigured. So that they can see a people who are changed by the blood of Christ. And we're here to show them what that transfiguration, how it affects us in love. That we're different. That we love as God's children. So that all sinners might eventually be cleansed by the blood of Christ. Transfigured in Christ, transformed to serve. Transfigured and transformed to tell others the good news. That they're walking in darkness under the wrath of God, unless believing in Jesus Christ, they cannot be saved. In his novel, The Big Fisherman, Lloyd C. Douglas talks about John the Baptist. And so John the Baptist is speaking. He's preaching to a crowd. "If any peace is to bless this sick world, salvation must first come to you. to you, the lonely. To you, the shepherd in the hills. To you, the farmer at the plow. To you, the carpenter at the beach. To you, the housewife at the loom. To you, rabbi. To you, lawyer. To you, scribe. To you. For except you repent, you too shall perish. It has been decreed, and God has spoken. But there is one near at hand who rids the world of its iniquity and who rids the world of its sin. Jesus Christ, our Lord, has changed us, transfigured us, transformed us, to rid us of our sin, to rid us of our iniquity, to rid us of the curse, to rid us of the damnation. And that's our reality. We live in Christ's blood, saved, changed, and that's our proclamation. Transformed in Christ, or transfigured in Christ, transformed to serve. Amen. And now may the peace of Christ that passes all understanding keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus and to life everlasting. Amen.